A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped. Then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked. The word of the Lord. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice.
I love you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice.
My God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praise be the Lord, I exclaim, and I am safe from my enemies. The breakers of death surged round about me. The destroying floods overwhelmed me. The cords of the netherworld enmeshed me. The snares of death overtook me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord and heard my
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me? The Jews answered him, We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him. Verbum Domini.
So Jesus has this big confrontation with the scribes and Pharisees, and is claiming that he is divine. Some people, moderns oftentimes, would just like Jesus as a teacher. He said he was a good witness of how to live, and that he really wasn't divine. We even hear that today, you know, we look at him that way. But Jesus clearly is saying he is the Son of God, he's the Son of the Father. Fathers and sons have the same nature, a divine nature in Jesus' case. And so that's the way scribes and Pharisees are hearing this. They want to stone him, and so they're getting this message. So Jesus leaves that area, and he goes, we're told at the end of the passage, he goes across the Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he remained. And many came to him and said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there." So he goes back to the region where John was baptizing, and he has many believers. They recognize the greatness of John the Baptist, that what he said was true. But it's interesting to me that John didn't work these powerful signs. You know, he laid down his life. He was a martyr, and he gave this eloquent witness by speaking the truth of Christ. And I think that applies to us today, because most of us do not work powerful, dazzling miracles. And even if we did, I think the effectiveness of that tends to pass. You know, we forget maybe even powerful experiences that we've had, maybe strong coincidences that we've had, signs that we have seen, they don't stay always present in our memory. And I think it's meant to be that way. They're given to us for a particular time or thing, but it's the truth that really penetrates our hearts and convicts us. And I think we are called to imitate, especially that witness of John the Baptist. You know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So we're all called to take up that cross, to place him first in our life. And that's the greatest witness that we can give. And that sticks with other people. You know, that impacts other people when they see that. It has a penetrating effect on our heart. You know, it resonates with us. This guy, this brother, this neighbor really believes that Jesus is number one for him. We're not all called to martyrdom, but some are, and this is, of course, a special sign, a special grace given to the church. Martyrdom is an external representation. This is von Balthasar. He says it's an external representation out of the inner reality out of which he lives, that Jesus lives in us. Balthasar would say that God does not content himself with our heartfelt thanks. He wants to be able to recognize his own son in Christian men and women. He wants to see that paschal mystery reproduced in us. Some are called to, you know, this martyrdom, but we're all called to embrace our cross, the sufferings, the difficulties that we have, to die to ourselves and give service to others, to lay down our lives for others as he did for us. In writing about Christian witness, Hans Urs von Balthasar, he has this wonderful section about, you know, at the end of the day, man dies alone. That we, in receiving life and living life, there's this togetherness, you know, beginning in the womb. The child is close, you know, together with the mother, and then in a family, and then in community. And all these things are necessary for our human life. You know, but we pass through the gates of death alone. This death is a consequence of original sin. And Christ takes death upon himself to redeem us. He's forsaken by men. We see that in the Gospels today. And even those he called especially, most of them leave him at the cross. And he surrenders to all this. He, you know, experiences a forsakenness by the Father. We could say psychologically, you know, on the cross. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me? That he is alone there before the Father. And in doing all this, in his paschal mystery, he gives us, he surrenders the Holy Spirit to us, this eternal bond of communion. Going through this aloneness, he's giving us this bond of communion, the Holy Spirit. So in our call before the Lord, we stand alone. You know, we have to say yes or no. And we see this in these Old Testament figures, right? Abraham is called to be the father of a great nation. We've heard these readings the past few days. John the Baptist is in the desert, alone with God. Moses before the burning bush. Elijah, 40 days in the desert on Mount Horeb, where he's being pursued by Jezebel. And he's ready to give up, you know, and he's experienced this grace from God. Mary, even being alone, you know, in her pregnancy, betrothed to Joseph, but not saying anything. She experiences this. And then all these figures are sent on mission. Mary goes to Elizabeth. Paul is blinded, knocked to the ground by God's light. And he's blind to everything else, in a sense. He receives his call to be this great missionary of the church. So nothing, von Balthasar has written about witness, said nothing has ever borne fruit in the church without emerging from the darkness of a long period of loneliness, ending in this light of community. You know, it's a sense of mission that builds community. So we're all called to this. You know, the lay faithful in Vatican II would write that whatever the conditions, duties, circumstances, their lives, and indeed even through all these, will daily increase in holiness if they receive all things with faith from the hand of their Heavenly Father, and if they cooperate with the divine will. In this temporal service, they will manifest to all men the love with which God loved the world. I think the key phrase is that, you know, if they receive all things with faith, because we all have these crosses and challenges, and we bear this incredible witness, you know, if we do this. Vatican II would go on to say that we must be prepared to make this profession of faith even in the midst of persecutions, which will never be lacking to the church in following the way of the cross. So John, of course, does these things most eloquently. Jesus himself would witness to us by, you know, according to the divine plan of God, through deeds and words. He works the great wonders. John is pointing others to Christ as the Messiah. Again, Vatican II would speak of revelation, that Jesus perfected revelation by fulfilling it through his work, his whole work of making himself present and manifesting himself through his words and deeds, his signs and wonders, but especially through his death and glorious resurrection, especially through the death and resurrection. This plan of revelation is realized by deeds and words having an inner unity. The deeds wrought by God in the history of salvation manifest and confirm the teaching and realities signified by the words, which the words proclaim the deeds and clarify the mystery contained in them. Jesus is the Son of God. These mighty deeds witness to that. The deepest truth about God and the salvation of man shines out for our sake in Christ, who is both the mediator and fullness of all revelation. So John gives witness by his martyrdom and his words. He gives us witness of truth by laying down his life for Christ. John 15, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He witnesses to the charity he has for God in his martyrdom. So John the Baptist, Augustine would say, was a lamp, and Jesus is the great light. John bears witness to the light, and we are called to do the same in our lives, to be these lamps witnessing to the great light that is Christ. And in Lent, as we do our penances and try to detach from the self and from the world, from our sins, that light grows brighter. You know, that Paschal mystery is reproduced in us, God willing. That spiritual power, that spiritual greatness to which we're all called to live that Paschal mystery in this time of Lent, brightens our lamps that we may shine and reflect the light of Christ.